Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I think the new news click should be, and here's Sam Panionovich on WGN. Our conversations with Sam are sponsored by PointsBet. If you could keep Schwarber or get rid of Schwarber, what would you do if you were the Chicago Cubs? I would keep him. Sam, go.
I would probably keep him as well because he's very well loved in that locker room. And I think sometimes in sports we forget that these guys are actual human beings and not just numbers, right? I think a lot of the culture in a clubhouse is very important. He's very beloved by a lot of those guys in that room. And I think, you know, some people don't really pay attention to that, and they think, well, because he's paid X, he should hit Y and all that. And I really try not to get wrapped up in that when it's about the culture in the clubhouse. He's a likable guy. He works hard. I mean, remember when he shredded his leg that World Series season, I remember you and I were talking about this. This was back, I think, on our Saturday show, and you said, I don't know when he's going to come back. And he did that in April, and he pushed, man, and he clawed through that rehab, and he came back and played in the World Series. He personifies the toughness, I think, of what Chicago is, and I would keep him around. I certainly would.
Who's the most important person in the White Sox locker room?
At this point, I think it's Abreu. Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
Abreu,
and
for sure.
And Abreu also puts up MVP numbers, too. But, I mean, that one of the – not only has he been valuable to the team on the field and in the locker room, but has Abreu not actually been a magnet for other players to come to the White Sox?
He picked up Yoan Moncada at the airport when Yo-Yo got traded here. And look, people say, well, okay, he picked him up at the airport, but I don't think anybody picked him up at the airport from the squad. And I think it's very important. I remember going back and forth with Cap on Sports Talk Live. This was a couple of years ago. Oh, the Cap, well, they got to get rid of him. I'm like, well, I think it's important because you have so many young Hispanic, Latin American players that are about to enter the fold here. And he's sort of like, not big brother, but maybe he's the younger uncle to that group. And yeah. It's very important when you play 162 games. You need leadership in that room, man. It's very important. And I remember covering that 2016 White Sox team. That was the worst team, aside from maybe the 14 Bears with Cutler and Brandon Marshall and Martellus Bennett. Like, that thing exploded in 2014. And Mark Trestman was holding the clipboard, and there are no notes on the clipboard on how to manage men. He didn't know how to do it. In 2016, I'll tell you what, that was the year Chris Sale was cutting up jerseys. Jimmy Rollins flipped out on the team. You had Todd Frazier and Adam Eaton ready to kill each other. You need to have everybody in order in 162 games, and they didn't have that in 2016. I wasn't around the Sox last year, but from all the people that I talked to, and obviously they played on the station, I heard it was a very close group, and that does mean a lot in a baseball season.
Hmm. All right, let's talk a little bit about football now. The Bears.
Do we have to talk about the Bears? I guess we have to, right?
I could do a half hour on my buster, Kyle Schwarber, but I guess that he was due $8 million, and that was just too much to pay him for what he puts out these days, huh? Okay, so here we go with the Bears. 5-6, hosting the Lions. 4-7. Game. Sunday at noon at Soldier Field. Mitch Trubisky taking the snaps. I really like that. I like that. It's like a train wreck. It could be very exciting.
It's like watching a drunk friend at the bar throwing darts, honestly. Like, maybe he'll hit a triple 20 every 30 times or once every 30 throws, but, you know, some of the darts are going to go into the wall. You just never know where they're going to go. You're right, man. It's so snoozy. I don't know if snoozy is a word, but we're going to use snoozy because we have this conversation every week. And 5 weeks ago, they're 5-1, and it's like, all right, but we still sort of saw the flaws in the club. And when they play the big boys, that's the problem. You can beat Detroit, you can beat the Giants, beat the Falcons, beat the Panthers. It's sort of a lauded record. It's not real. Then they play the Rams, get smoked. Play the Saints, lose. Play the Titans, get smoked.
Packers.
Get crushed on national television on Sunday night by the Packers. I mean, if there's any test of what they really are against the heavy hitters, that's the perfect example. You go play your biggest rival, and you're down 28-3 in the blink of an eye on national television. And, okay, they could beat the Lions this week. They can beat the Texans down the stretch, beat the Jaguars, and then maybe they're 8-8 or maybe they're 9-7. But, King, guess what? They go to the playoffs first game, they play the Packers again, or they play the Saints, or they play the Seahawks.
That's the funny thing. We don't have to, not that the schedule is going to lend itself on the second half as much as on the first half, but we don't have to win that many more games, right, to still be in the playoffs, right?
I saw Mark Potash write something that if the favorite wins out in all of these games, the Bears would be 9-7. The only game they're probably not going to be favored in down the stretch is the game against Green Bay. Clearly, they won't be a favorite in that game. Even if it's in Chicago, the Packers are going to be a 4-point favorite or 5-point favorite or so. But Chicago probably is going to be favored against Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, Jacksonville. But the conversation that you have to have when you assess the Bears is, you know, who are they against the good teams? Because you have to beat the good teams to make a deep run.
Well, and they're not as
so
good as the good teams.
They're far away from being great, don't they?
Well, we thought the defense was going to be terrific this year, and you saw stuff in that Green Bay game that will give you pause. Ed Obradovich, Dan Hampton, Glenn Kozlowski were taking issue with Matt Nagy's statements that we all need to look in the mirror, figure out who we are, you know, take personal responsibility and ownership for what happened, when they were pretty much blaming it all on Matt Nagy. But there were plays late in that game against Green Bay where you could see guys not really trying. I mean, I don't notice things that much. I'm not smart enough to see who's doing well and not well on a football field. But there were a couple of guys that were just given half a shoulder to some possible tackles. And I thought, wow, if I'm noticing this, this must really be a kind of half-assed performance by plenty of people on the field. Did you see that too?
I saw a little bit, but I look, they're not going to make up that deficit 28-3. They know that. I mean, if you go down 25 points to Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to happen. So I think they were defeated. I don't think they quit. I mean, it's easy to say that they quit. I don't think they quit. I think you'll actually see a pretty strong effort this week, too. I mean, most people listening right now are going to go, wait, Chicago's a 3-point favorite? Well, I'm not going to lay that. But did you watch the Lions on Thanksgiving? Holy cow. I mean, they quit at halftime. And then the coach got fired, and then the general manager got fired. So it's dire in Chicago, but it's worse in Detroit. That team sucks. I mean, I think the Bears are – they're average. They're an average football team. The Lions are an atrocious football team. So the math tells you Chicago should take care of business. But again, that doesn't mean that they're going to do anything of prominence down the stretch.
Okay, Sam Panionovich is on a phone, and we'll pick it up here in just a minute and place our bets over, under, a couple of those, and then we'll move on to some other things, including the big bet of the week. Somebody put $100,000 on the Bears. How did that play out? We'll talk more about that in a minute. This is WGN. Sam Panionovich is on a phone, and Thursdays at this time we visit with Sam. We talk about sports and wagering and sports wagering. So what is the over-under on the Bears-Lions game?
So it opened 45 at points, but down to 44.5. And I think it's funny because when you look at the final score in the last game, you go, oh, that was a lot of points, right? 41-25, that's 66 points, but every game has a different script, and if that script gets ripped in half, you have to play catch-up. When you go down 28-3, the game opens up. So I'm not going to overreact to one game. Green Bay is a very good offense. Chicago is a bad offense. Detroit is a terrible offense. I don't know how they get to 45 points in this game. PointsBet has 44.5 right now. King John, you might look up on Sunday if you even watch this game, which a lot of people have already given up and pulled the plug. 20-17, 17-14. What's your final score? These teams suck.
Well, I'm definitely taking the under on this one, but that's been me all year with the Bears. So I think I'll do it again. I'll go with the under on that one. I don't have a score for you, but I'm definitely going under 44 points.
How about this? Will there be a defensive score in the game?
Yeah.
Usually when you have two quarterbacks that love to throw the ball to the other team, like Trubisky and Stafford both do, you can find avenues to sort of bet on different things. You don't have to bet Chicago -3 or Detroit +3 or go over under. If you bet on an interception touchdown, that is +210. That's either interception or like a fumble recovery. That's +210 for a defensive touchdown. And then how about a safety at 9-1? I would not be surprised if either of those things happen. Like, this is not a game that I would bet. People ask, well, who do you like in the game? I like the under, but I don't feel that strongly about it. And I feel okay saying that, but this could be one of those games where you see Eddie Jackson, the free safety, pick a ball off and take it back, or Trubisky's running around, pirouetting in the background, and he just loses the ball. I mean, like, I have seen crazy stuff in these Bears-Lions games, and I would not put a defensive touchdown past anything.
They asked Glenn Kozlowski on two nights ago here at this little radio station of ours, what was the two worst plays of the Bears-Packers game? And he said it was everything between the coin toss and the close of the game. But but there were a couple of handoffs, a couple of the Trubisky fumbles really looked bad. Can I bet on that? Could I do a same-game parlay and say, will Trubisky fumble the ball and will the defense outscore the offense? I'd like to put some money on those two things.
If you check out PointsBet, they do have this option there called Create Your Own Bet. You can actually submit whatever you want. Now, they have to approve it, and they have to run it up the chain and everything. And if the math checks out, yeah, they might take it. You know, when we get closer to kickoff, a lot of these, because of all the COVID and all the uncertainty, you know, during the week, their trading team and a lot of the trading teams around the country, they have to really wait until you get to Friday, Saturday, Sunday to start putting up a lot more of the props, because if you find out on Friday that Mitch Trubisky has COVID, now you have to refund all those bets, and that's a nightmare for a sports book. So you'll see a lot more props. Like, you'll see Mitch Trubisky's passing yard prop. You'll see, you know, will he throw an interception, yes or no. You'll see more of that stuff. But they really do have a cool feature. It's called Create a Bet. And if it lines up with the algorithm and they feel like they can give you a fair shake, they will certainly do it. What's the parlay again? He's going to fumble, and what else?
He's going to fumble the ball, and the defense will score. Defense will outscore the offense.
And then how about the kicker doinks one off the upright, too? Like, you weave that in there as well, juice it up a little bit?
You leave our little kicker out of this. He is about to become one of the most successful kids, the most successful kicker the Bears have ever had. He's like at 90% on field goals and hasn't missed a PAT, one of only five kickers in the NFL right now to be able to say that. So
did you just jinx him on 50,000 watts?
He probably did.
You know what's going to happen now. You just gave him the kiss of death.
All right, we'll revisit that later on. Are college games good to bet on, or are they even harder to know enough to make a good bet?
It is the toughest sport going right now. We see cancellations and postponements and COVID-related stuff every single day. It's a very interesting situation going on, not only at PointsBet, but around the world, and especially in Las Vegas. I mean, these bookmakers have never had it tougher, because it's hard enough to maintain an advantage and to make lines on all these games with all these teams. I mean, there are hundreds of college football teams. And then you have to know not only how good the quarterback is, but if he gets COVID and then the backup gets COVID, how good is the third-string quarterback? And you have to figure this stuff out on the fly. I mean, we talked about the Minnesota-Purdue game last week when Dave Ennett popped in, and we talked about that, how 20 people were ruled out for COVID, you know, 2 hours before kickoff. And if you're a bookmaker, what do you do? You've never been in this situation before. And now there are situations, if you look at this very fascinating possibility with Michigan screwing over Ohio State, like, this has gotten some run in the media, and it's certainly something that a lot of people are thinking about, because if three games in the Big Ten get canceled, you are not able to qualify for the Big Ten championship game.
What are you talking about, Michigan screwing over Ohio State?
Because Ohio State has already had two games canceled this season.
Yeah.
If another game gets canceled, they cannot go to the Big Ten championship.
And?
So Michigan has been riddled by COVID. They're not a good football team, and if they don't feel like playing, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, they can cancel the game against Ohio State and screw Ohio State over from going to a Big Ten championship. And if they don't win the Big Ten championship, how can they make the college football playoff?
Okay, and Michigan figured, all right, fine, I see how that lines up. But you cannot seriously entertain the idea that Michigan, that coach, and those players who really want to play would decide not to play just to spite Ohio State. They would limp onto the field if they could.
I don't think they want to play and lose by 40 points.
I think, you are the expert, Sam, but I'm just thinking about college athletes, Coach Harbaugh, Michigan. You guys could opt not to play because you're afraid of Ohio State, or you could play and take your chances. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to play. This is Michigan. Your thoughts?
This is, if you've been watching Michigan, this is not Michigan, though. I mean, they are just
okay.
They are so far removed from being a serious contender. And look, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I mean, if I'm sitting here right now and you were to say, should I bet on Ohio State to win the national championship?
Oh well, yeah.
I think they're talented enough, King John. I think they have the weapons. I think they have 12 guys on the field, you know, offense and defense, that are going to play in the NFL relatively soon. But if they only have a 5-0 record and they didn't win their conference championship, how does the college football committee put them in the playoff? That's the question that you have to have, because everything, there's the macro and the micro to all this stuff. Is Ohio State a great team? Absolutely. But is their resume with a potential 5-0 record and no conference championship, are they good enough to be in the playoff? And I don't have that answer, because nobody has that answer.
All right, I got a couple more and then we'll move on. Now, what do you make of Notre Dame this week?
They're a 33-point favorite against Syracuse. That should tell you everything you need to know against the Orange. I found this prop really funny. So I'm not going to tell you to bet Notre Dame or Syracuse, but this is a very fascinating prop. The over-under for team points for Syracuse is 9.
That's it. Notre Dame, I've watched enough of Notre Dame this year to be dangerous. That's a good football team. That is a good football team.
Syracuse has lost games this year when they've scored 6, they've scored 10, and they lost at Louisville 30-0 last month. So they can lay an egg. And essentially what the books are telling you right now with this number and the point spread and everything, they're saying the final score is going to be 43-9. That's what the numbers say. But if you think Syracuse can get in that end zone, baby, just one time,
yeah,
you only need 10 points.
You're not going to tell me how to play that one, huh?
I'd probably take the under, honestly. I think the final score is going to be 38-6, 38-7. I don't see it. They're so bad. Because you're watching that game, you bet over 9, and you're on, you know, you're on 3 points in the fourth quarter. You're like, come on!
Hey, what did you make?
They may not get there.
What did you make of the game the other day? Was it the Monday night game where was it Seattle and Philadelphia? And at the very end, they sort of throw up that garbage touchdown pass, everybody in the end zone, the Hail Mary, and then they go for 2, and that went over the line then for a lot of bettors. Do you know what I'm talking about?
So, it was a very good result for points bet. It was a very good result for a lot of books around the country. When the public road favorite in prime time doesn't make it count, remember, Seahawks are up big in that game, but you're right. It was a Carson Wentz Hail Mary caught by the backup tight end with one hand. And then, yeah, oh, by the way, the Eagles had to go for 2 to cover the spread. But that was a very fortuitous result for the sports books, that's for sure.
I'm going to take LF. If I take that call, I'm not going to disconnect Sam here, right? Sam is now locked in. Hey, Joe, jump in there. What did you want to say? You're on WGN.
Yeah, I'm curious what the odds are of Sarah Fuller from Vanderbilt being given an ESPY award, since she'd been given Player of the Week for a 30-yard kick.
Yeah, it was not an impressive kickoff, and she did not score a point. But she is the first, what is it, Power 5 conference team female player. Is that it, Sam?
That's it, yeah. She kicks for Vanderbilt. Yeah, it's a good story. I'd like to see her kick a field goal, though. I'm curious. I want to see
a PAT.
No, I want a field goal. I want more.
I suppose she could do it. Has she just not had the opportunity? I believe she's listed as the only kicker on that team right now. I mean, should the opportunity present itself, she's what they've got, right?
She's what they've got. I think the starting kicker and the backup kicker both have COVID. So they pulled her off the soccer squad. She's a
goalie,
very good soccer player, but that's how desperate a lot of these programs around the country are. I mean, they're looking anywhere to fill some holes, and that's the case with the kicker. I mean, they need a kicker. You need a kicker in football. I don't have odds on the ESPY. I apologize. I wasn't prepared for that question. I don't think you can bet on that either, but yeah, I'll get back to you on that one.
Joe, thank you for the call. We're out of time. Aleph said you got to take a break, so that's it. I got to go. All right, Sam, thank you for your time, sir.
You got it, buddy.
Sam Panionovich, sponsored by PointsBet.